Oh, man, let's give it up for the band. Awesome job. Man, what a great way to start the journey, you know, little U2, all because of you I am. I mean, this is really what we're going to be talking about throughout this entire journey. And what a great picture a few moments ago. Let's give it up for John and Amy. I know they're in the house, in the room today. That's someone who knows who they are. Now, as the song said, you know, they're not broken, but you could see some of the cracks as they're talking about. But they're in a process where they are more and more confident in who they are. And that's what we want for every single one of us as we begin this journey today. So let me pray for us as we embark on this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today that we can come into a dark room on a beautiful Sunday morning. And God, we just thank you that you are such a generous, generous God. God, you call us to something beyond where we are right now, and yet you meet us exactly where we are. And so I just pray that you would help us to experience something that's insightful today, help us to experience you in a brand new way and get a picture of the life that you have for us and that you wired into us. And so I just pray that everything we do in this room, God, would go toward that end, and I pray these things according to you, Jesus, your character and your identity. Amen. Well, you know, when we started Crosspoint a little over 10 years ago, and really the way we operate Crosspoint every single weekend is we try to make it user-friendly for people who are not church fans, people who aren't used to being in church, people who really don't understand the Bible. And so every now and then when you might hear me into prayer like that, you know, where I say, according to the identity and the character, and you're like, oh, what is that? That's a little different way to pray or to end a prayer. Because normally when you hear a pastor pray or anybody, you know, that's somewhat spiritual, they say, you know, in Jesus' name we pray. They'll like tag this little phrase on at the end, right? Kind of like, as long as I get it in there, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And it's almost like as long as I pin that little thing on the end, then there's supposed to be some hocus pocus magic that happens and it'll all happen exactly the way I want it, right? Well, that's not exactly what's happening right there. In fact, this is actually connected to some words that Jesus said one time when he said, whenever you pray in my name, it will be done. And yet what he's saying there isn't just tack that little phrase on at the end. What he's saying is, you know, to know someone's identity in the ancient world, in the first century world, to know their identity was to know their name. To know their name was to know their character. All right? So what he's saying is when you pray according to the character or out of the identity of Jesus, when you pray in a way that's like, you know, I'm praying about the things that I know Jesus would want to have happen, then that means you know my identity. And bam, all of a sudden, there's going to be more potency to your prayers. There's going to be more power. You're going to receive more yeses to the things you're praying about because you're praying those things out of the character and the identity of Jesus. So we're talking about the identity of Jesus right here. And in this journey, in this series, we're going to be talking about identity. We're asking the question, who am I? Who am I really? Do you know who you are? You know, for me, I'm constantly in a process of self-discovery. I'm regularly trying to learn more, grow more, understand how I can be a better leader, pastor. When we hire people here at Crosspoint, we run a battery of assessments on them to get a picture of, you know, really to look through all of these 6 different assessments and get as clear a picture of who they are, of how they're going to perform, how they're wired to work. And it's very fascinating. It's somebody once said to me, it's like I'm naked standing before you with my assessments right there. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a weird way to say it, but that's true. It really reveals who you are. I recently decided to rerun assessments on myself and have my coach, you know, walk me through these. And it was fascinating. I mean, there were some pieces that were really affirming, and then there were some really cool things that I'm growing in, some things I'm wired in, but God is developing in me right now. And then there were some places where I continue to need to grow in order to be the best pastor and leader and husband and father that I can be. And see, this is what we want for every single one of us. Where we're living out of our identity. And so every year we do this deep dive on a topic. We call it a journey. And the reason we call it a journey is because it takes 6 weeks. All right, it's not something you can just do in 1 week. It's going to take getting into groups. It's going to take doing some homework in the Crosspoint app, which we'll walk you through here in a bit. And this year it's on identity. I am blank. How would I fill in that blank? Because see, here's the thing. The moment you stop the process of self-discovery is the process you stop seeking God. The moment you stop the process of self-discovery is the moment you stop seeking God. And the moment you stop seeking God is when you stop having more and more power, more and more potency in your life. You know, John, in that video a moment ago, He referred to this thing called Fight Club. What's Fight Club? Well, you know, if you're newer to Crosspoint, you probably haven't heard us talk about it recently. Fight Club's an initiative for men. And it's Fight Club. I can't tell you a lot about it, right? It's like this secretive, you know, behind the scenes thing. The premise of it is it's a 10-week discipline program. It's guys submitting. We've had like 75, 80 guys start it. Only about half of those have completed it because it's hard. It's 10 weeks of spiritual challenge, mental challenge, relational challenge, and physical challenge. And every week you're doing things that push yourself beyond the things you would ordinarily do. And it, all of this, through the process of all of this, it actually creates self-discovery. These guys figure out, okay, here's how I was wired. Here's what it means to be a man. Here's how God uniquely placed me in my family to protect and to defend and to provide. And it's awesome. It's guys really getting into their identity. And see, some of us, we think about identity and you're like, hey, hey, Kurt, I know who I am. I have a pretty good idea. I think I'm pretty self-aware. Well, you might be. All right, you might be, but we can always, you know, peel back the onion a bit further. There's never any hurt. In fact, you only become more effective when you continue to peel back the onion. You know, others of us, you think you know who you are. You have no freaking clue who you are, right? You have no idea why you're here, why you're on the planet. It's why you're constantly, you know, in a job that's frustrating you. It's why you're constantly in the wrong job. It's why, you know, you're in financial difficulty because you're trying to figure out who I am and you're trying to buy your way to who you are. It's why, you know, you roll through friendships the way you do. You just burn through them. You have to replace your friends every 3 years because you just burn people out. It's why relationships, they come and they go and you can't figure out what happened. You know, it's why in marriage sometimes we just like, why can't I make marriage work? It's because you don't even know what you want out of marriage because you don't know who you are. And so if you, you know, wherever you are in this process, man, I am so excited you're here because your life is about to change. I mean, if you will dig into this process over the next 6 weeks and you'll get into a group and you'll do the work and you'll show up on weekends, I tell you what, your life is about to change when you begin to see how God wired you and you begin to live out of that, all right? Because we all want that in our lives. So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, back to the book of Genesis. This is where we find the creation narrative, where God's kind of putting the world into order. And I want us to see how we began, because this says something about us. And so in the creation narrative, the first 3 days, God is separating things. First day, separating, you know, the light from the darkness, and he says it's good. The next day, he separates the sky from the land, and he says that's good. Then he says, you know, let's separate the dry land from the wet land, the waters, and he says it's good. And then the next 3 days, God begins populating things. He begins, you know, putting the birds of the air and then the fish of the sea, and he says it's good. And then he puts the beast of the field, and you know, elephants and tigers and lions and bears. Yeah, you get caught on. And, you know, and he says it's good. And then on the sixth day, he creates you and me. He creates mankind, humankind, and he steps back and he goes, whoa, that is very good. And then for the first time in all of creation, we hear something out of God's mouth or out of his thinking that's not in line with the rest of the 5 days. He all of a sudden says, something is not the way it's supposed to be. In fact, here's what he says in Genesis 2. It says, the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. He says, it's not good. And so what's he do? He brings woman around. But just because woman's there, he says it's not good for man and woman to be alone. And so this isn't just about like they should be married and we should have relationships. This is about just community, general community. And so why is this? Because see, you and I, we actually need people in our lives. There's certain things in our lives that we can't see for ourselves. We need the power of other people around us. This is why the small group experience is going to be so important during these next 6 weeks. In fact, every year when we do this journey, my wife and I do a group and we invite some of our friends who aren't overly connected or aren't connected in groups at Crosspoint, some of our neighbors into our group. And in the first week of the small group experience, there's always a question that says something like, you know, why are you here? Why'd you choose to join a journey group? And the people in my group and, you know, Julie's our group at our home usually go, well, I mean, you know, our pastor asked us to join their group. How do we tell them no, right? And so that's why they're there. But you know what's so cool to me, and I feel a little guilty, but not too bad, because I will twist people's arms on virtually nothing except getting into groups, right? We will twist your arm on getting into a group. But by like week two, those people that said that's the only reason they're there, they're going, oh my word, I can't believe it took me 3 years to get into a group. I had no idea this is what it was. Because it's community, and they realize I need relationships with people. Another one of the problems that we, you know, have, I mean, many of us at least, is, you know, when we were growing up, we received a lot of misguided information. All right. In fact, out of curiosity, how many of you were told growing up, you just raise your hand if you were told you can do anything you want to do. Anything you want to do, you can achieve it. Anybody? Yeah. A third of us, maybe. Absolutely. You cannot do anything you want to do. Whoever told you that was lying. All right. I'm serious. You can't go out and be Andrew Luck. All right. You just can't. Now, half of us don't want to, right? Because he's going to come back in a week or two, and he's going to get clobbered because our line's terrible, right? So you wouldn't want to be him even if you could. If you wanted to be LeBron James or Steph Curry, you can't. If you're 5'2", you're not going to make it in the NBA. I'm sorry. All right? I think one guy, right? Spud Webb, is that his name? I think he made it at 5'1 or 5'2". But you can't be anything you want. See, this is a lie that we're told. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. The more we go through life trying to be those things that we want to be, but we're not wired to be, the more unfulfilled your life's going to be. And the more you're going to be chasing something because you're not living out of the image, the picture who God created you to be. In fact, in our culture, we're obsessed with figuring out who we are, right? We take Facebook tests and Love-O-Meter tests, and you know, we're trying to figure out how, you know, man, am I, how good am I at this? And yet what's fascinating is we don't want anybody else to tell us who we are though, right? You're like, oh, don't label me, don't judge me. And see, all of this is where we've gone awry because we need each other. We need each other and we need God because God is our creator, tells us who we are. And so, as I said, every year we do this journey, and it's one of the most important things we do all year. And I'm telling you, if you get into the group, and if you do the homework, and if you show up every weekend for the next 6 weeks, it will change you. It's changed me. I mean, it's changed me. In fact, you know, last year when we were doing the Brave Journey was about figuring out that brave thing that God's put in front of you, that he's saying, hey, here's the next hill for you to climb. Here's the next thing I want you to go after. It's out of your comfort zone. And for me, I just really felt the burden that God was, you know, burdening me to expand Crosspoint, to create new opportunities, new environments for people to come, new services, new sites. And here's what's so cool. 1 year later, all right, to this month, it's been 1 year since we did that. And 3 nights ago, Thursday night, came out of last year's Brave Journey. Do you realize we had over 220 people here Thursday night? How cool is that? Holy cow. That is awesome. I mean, we were like, oh my word, it's amazing. People that were here for the first time. Because God put something on my heart a year ago. Now, why did he do that? And it wasn't just me. I mean, it's our team. It's all kinds of people here. Well, he partly put that on my heart because I'm a builder. I've learned I'm a creator. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But the other reason is because God has a burden to know more of his children. And so he uses places like this and environments like we're in right now to do that. See, contrary to what some of us believe, not everyone's a part of the family of God. I mean, it's not that God doesn't love everybody. It's not that God doesn't care about everybody. It's just that not everybody's in the family of God because not everybody's received their adoption. In fact, here's what it says in John 1. It says, but to all who did receive him, that is, receive Jesus, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, when I receive Jesus, when I receive my adoption from my heavenly Father, because sin has separated me from him, when I receive that adoptionship, I receive the right to know God. And maybe some of us here today, you're like, well, I don't know if I know God. I mean, I don't feel God. I don't sense God. Well, it might be because you haven't received your adoption with him yet. You haven't received Jesus. And that may happen as a result of this journey. He's closer than you can imagine. And see, this is what fathers do. This is what parents do. They speak identity into their children. In fact, it's one of the bummers I see happening in our culture today is way too many parents are afraid to tell their kids who they are. Right? This is what our Heavenly Father does. This is what parents need to do as you're raising your kids. Listen, as a parent, you're uniquely positioned to speak into your kids, to tell them things about themselves that they can't figure out yet in their young years. And if you don't do it, guess what? Somebody else is going to. I saw a fascinating article that really drew me in this past week on MSN.com. Here's what it said. It said, he was an American hero, a pioneer, a kind and humble soul who opened up his life and home to the world. I felt how much he loved me. I loved him so much. I'm so grateful. I'm thinking, man, this guy's got to be amazing. She continued, he gave me life. He gave me direction. He taught me kindness. I will feel eternally grateful to have been by his side, holding his hand and telling him how much I love him. He changed my life. He saved my life. He made me feel like loved every day. He was a beacon to the world, a force unlike anything else. So I'm reading this going, holy cow. Talk about somebody who knows how to give an identity. Then it goes on. It says, Harris added, there never has been and never will be another Hugh Hefner. I'm like, are you kidding me? But see, this is what happens. So this is his wife talking about, I didn't even realize the dude died. He died like a week or two ago. And here's a woman who probably never had a father who said, here's who you are. And so Hugh Hefner comes on the scene and says, hey, I'll tell you who you are. You're a sex object. That's what you are. Let me tell you who you are. And he set her identity. See, if we don't do it as parents, somebody's going to do it for you. So in Genesis, let's go all the way back to Genesis. See, I want us to understand what it means for us to have an identity. All right? Here's what God says. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image. That's right, let us. This is funny. So God, let us, is operating in a group, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Guess what? Hey, if God needs a group, you need a group too, all right? You need to get into a group if you want maximum impact here. He says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that you may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So God tells human beings, Adam and Eve, something he doesn't tell any other creature in the world. Right? He tells them something unique that no other creature gets. Fido, your dog doesn't get this. All right? Princess, your cat doesn't get this. Lions, tigers, and bears don't get this. This is specifically for human beings. So three things about image that God he bestows upon Adam and Eve and the rest of us. And we're going to see this all throughout the rest of the journey, these three things. The first one is that image gives validity. Image gives validity. See, you're created in the image of God. In the image of God, male and female, he created you. I mean, it's pretty awesome that you and I have something in common with God, right? I mean, isn't that cool? It actually validates us that God cares for us, that he cared enough, he was intentional, that he's doing something in you right now. You know, so many times, this whole idea of, you know, science and God and faith and God, how do we merge science and faith? They seem to be mutually exclusive. I really don't think that they are. In fact, I actually think they go hand in glove a lot of the times. I mean, maybe God did create the world and boom, a big bang, and all of a sudden it was. Or maybe God did, you know, evolve human beings at a micro level or macro level over time. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't see them as mutually exclusive. I mean, God could have created the world in, you know, 6 or 7 24-hour periods of time, and bam, it was in an exact day as we know it. And then, I mean, God could have, like, snapped his fingers and it happened, and it probably would have been a bang, right? Or God could have used, you know, 7 24-hour periods of time, or really, you know, 7,000-year periods of time, you know, these epic movements where he created and separated things. I don't know. None of this really, you know, invalidates who God is. But see, that's very different than this idea of saying, you know, that you just kind of, you know, arrived out of nothingness. I mean, you know, all of a sudden there's a big bang and an amalgamation of proteins kind of came together and nobody knows how they came together. It's randomly formed and, you know, and it was all total randomness and there was a roll of the dice and your DNA went this way and somebody else's DNA went that way. I mean, when we begin to think of the randomness of that coming together, it's no wonder we have, like, self-image problems, right? I mean, is that all that I am? I mean, it's just all random, and then all of a sudden, there was you. You're no more than like a speck of dust that was floating in the atmosphere, and all of a sudden, randomness has brought you together and developed you with no forethought and no intentionality. It's just a roll of the dice. See, that system says you don't matter. That system says you're nothingness. That system says it doesn't matter what you do. See, in that system, there's nobody that loves you eternally or built into you with any intentionality at all. Your image is like, who cares? Who cares? You're zero. You're nothing. I mean, you're just, you know, you're done and somebody else will come along. And you might be going, well, Kurt, I am a random accident. I mean, I've been told my whole life I'm an accident. My parents, they didn't expect me. So here's the thing. Maybe you were an accident to your parents. But let me assure you, you are not an accident to God. In fact, the psalmist, he talks about this. He says, you created me in my inmost being. He says, you knit me together meticulously, cell by cell by cell, in my mother's womb. And see, when you begin to look at your life this way, you begin to walk with more confidence. Right? You deal with difficult situations. You might say, well, so-and-so doesn't like me. Okay, well, that doesn't matter because God likes me, because God made me. God intentionally formed me. And it validates you, changes everything. So you begin to see the point of life is way more than how many digits I have in my account or how many letters I have after my name and, you know, and my education degrees, as important as all that is. It's way more than the likes I have on Facebook. No, you begin to realize the point of life is to actually know my Creator. Let us make man in our own image. See, you won't find this in any other religious material at all. I mean, if you want to know what God looks like, just look around. Look up and down your row. Just turn your head right now and look at people next to you. That's what he looks like, because he made us in his own image. This is why you do things your dog doesn't do. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you do things your cat doesn't do. Your dog doesn't dream dreams. Now, my dog, Minnie, she was sleeping this week. That's her sleeping. She dreams. I mean, she'll, like, wake up whining, like trying to get out of her electric fence to get the rabbit on the other side or something. I don't know. But she doesn't dream dreams to solve the problem of cancer in our world. She didn't, you know, she didn't innovate to help put like a man on the moon a number of years ago. I mean, she's not bothered by what happened in Las Vegas this week. Why are we bothered by what happened in Las Vegas? Because we long and we thirst for justice in our world. We as human beings, we have a capacity. It bothers us when we see evil winning out. We want good to win out. Why does it bother us? Because it bothers God, and you're created in his image. See, this is why it bothers us. And the more we understand this, the more we live out of that image. Second thing, image bestows ability. Image bestows ability. It actually gives us ability. See, the Bible's pretty clear that as men and women, he gave us unique things to do that he didn't give any other living creatures the ability to do. He's given us unique abilities. And the sooner you figure out what these abilities are, the sooner your life's going to take off. And once you know those, the sooner you spend time refining those abilities, which is the process I'm in right now, the deeper your life is going to go, right? And so sometimes, you know, in spiritual context, we call these spiritual gifts, you know, the gift of teaching and evangelism and all those kinds of things. I'm not talking about those at all right? We're talking about aptitude abilities that allow you to have better relationships, aptitude abilities that allow you to be more fulfilled and do better at your job and outperform, you know, your previous year. You know, aptitude abilities that allow you to raise the game, not only in your life, but people around you. And so, you know, but even in light of this, we still have to understand there are certain things we may want to do and say, well, I'm going to go do this, and you may not be as good at it as somebody else, all right? So, like, think back to, like, art class, for example, in junior high. Remember art class? Remember sitting in art class with all the mediums and colors and paints? And, you know, remember how you had the same teacher that everybody else had in the class? You had, like, the same coaching, at least for the most part. Maybe some were a teacher's pet, but for the most part, the teacher was, like, coaching you all. You had the same paper. And yet there was one kid whose art was fantastic, right? And everybody hated him because he was so good. And then there were other kids, maybe you were the one, and people come look at your art, and they're like, well, what is it? And you're like, well, it's art. And you're right, because it's art class, so everything's art, right? But it's like you could have the same context, same training, yet different people have different aptitudes. I mean, it's just like you and I could both go to Harvard Business School, get our MBA, and one of us might be able to lead a 500 Fortune company, and the other one of us couldn't find our way out of a bag, right? Or like in my profession as pastors. I mean, some of the guys I was in training with on how to do a church startup and how to start something from scratch, about half of us, you know, were doing really well. The other half didn't make it at all. Why is that? Because you can't do anything you want to do. In fact, I used to have a guy that would attend every now and then. He was a pastor of another church in Southern Indiana, and when he was off, he'd come up here. I think he had kids up here, and he'd wear a suit every week, which is cool, because we're a come-as-you-want-to culture. But after church, he'd always come up to me, and one week he said, man, Kurt, I think I could do exactly what you do if I just made a few changes. I'm like, okay, what would those changes be? He said, well, for one, if my wife would just let me wear a t-shirt instead of a suit, I could be just like you. I'm like, no, you couldn't. There's no way you could. I mean, it's not just as easy as that. See, as long as we think it's just some little thing that I need to do, then I can do anything I want. It's not. We can't be whoever we want to be. And until we dig in and figure out how we're wired, we're going to be banging our head against the wall, making the same mistakes over and over. So back in the book of Genesis, we see three abilities, all right, that we're going to come back to again and again over the next 6 weeks. All right, and you have one of these that's your dominant thing, and then the other two, you probably, the more mature you are, the older you are, you're going to become more and more proficient at all of these, but one of them is your main thing. All right, so Adam and Eve have three things they're given. The first one is their ruling. Right, they're ruling. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make mankind in our own image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the livestock and the wild animals." So they're ruling. God said, "I'm giving you dominion." Right? You have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the earth. Now, we've done some awful things to our environment in light of this verse, right? We've kind of, you know, really bastardized this verse and kind of taken it to say, we do whatever you want to do to the planet, you know, because we're ruling it. We have dominion over it. I mean, we've raped our lands of forests. We've scraped the ocean bottom and just totally scraped it clean. We've overfished our oceans. It's totally changing the ecological system in our world today. I mean, awful things. And yet, here's the thing. We can bemoan, you know, whether we had the right to or not the right to, but we did it. We did it, right? The whales didn't do it. I mean, they don't have the ability to do stuff like that. I mean, whales and elephants, they don't have the ability to manage anything in the environment. They just live in it. But see, you and I, we are given the ability to rule. And it's not just an environmental thing, it's an everything thing. I mean, we're able to use our skill sets to create peace systems and create justice systems and informational systems and management systems and, you know, communities and systems and communities that allow us to thrive and systems and businesses that allow us to you know, be better than we were before, and engineers and programmers, and this is where police officers come in. These are all places where we rule, where we bring order to things in order to make life better and take it to a different place. Second thing that Adam and Eve are given, that you and I have, is this ability to increase. It says, God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. So this is like people who, like everything they touch, it just increases. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you see them with something and you're like, what did you just do? And they're like, I don't know. I mean, I was given this and boom, all of a sudden it's just more. Like they poop money. That's what they do. All right. It's like they just create, like they have it and they just generate more. Right? Like, geez, how do you do that? These are entrepreneurs. These are, you know, financial advisors, farmers, ranchers, bankers. And listen, if you're not into increase, you need to stay away from these professions because you're going to suck at them. All right. You're not going to be good if you're not somebody who is an increaser. But see, people who have these professions, even though it's not their main identity, but part of their identity is I'm an increaser. It's part of their name. I'm an increaser. And then the third one is to create. You create. This could be if you're an artist, an architect, a baker, a filmmaker, a producer, an entrepreneur, if you're somebody who takes ideas and develops them into something. You know, if you're a builder, if you like to create things and take something that's nothing and move it to someplace where all of a sudden, boom, something exists. And I tell you what, this one has been a big learning for me over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months. In fact, I'm a creator. I'm a builder. And even over the last 3 years since we got into this facility at Crosspoint, after we built this building, I've been kind of like, you know, bummed. I mean, there's been times where I've been frustrated. There's been times where I've been, you know, bummed with kind of how Crosspoint's going. And we've been doing really well, by the way. I mean, you know, we've been continuing to have spiritual impact. We've, you know, continued to grow. We've continued to be well-funded. We've continued to have a great, great spirit out of here. It's just that for me, I've been bored. I've been busy, but I've been bored. Why have I been bored? Because I'm a builder. I'm a creator. And so, you know, things that start that are newer around here, a lot of times I have something to do with it, not everything to do with it. But I like to create things. You know, at home, I'm always building something. I built my kids' playset. I put flooring in all of our bathrooms, flooring in our downstairs, redid our bathrooms. I built lofts for my kids' bedrooms. I built a whole system in our attic to store things. I did outdoor patios. I mean, it's like I'm constantly building. Just this past week, in fact, I started doing a home theater system in our loft. In fact, we had one. I'm making it better because I guess I'm in an increasing too. I was like, you know, why don't we put a panel TV up there, like 65, 70-inch TV in our loft? You know, we can enjoy games. I'm like, why would we do that when I could make it 15 feet big, right? So that's what we're doing. And it's going to be a dry erase board to double. My kids are going to be able to draw and do all their school fun stuff they do when they're playing, because it's going to be a dry erase board and a screen all in one. You know, 2 weeks ago, I went out and bought this go-kart for my son. You know, and we're rebuilding this thing. Some of you, you know, heard my snowmobile stories of rebuilding snowmobiles last year. Now we're on to go-karts. Didn't snow much last year. You know, so we got to find something to build. Because I'm a builder, and we've been building the early weekend service. And see, all of this is because I'm a builder. I'm a creator. And you might go, holy cow, Kurt, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, you know, not knowing exactly how things are going to go. We didn't know if we're going to have 12 people or 20 people on Thursday night, or 200 people as we did. But you're like, I don't know if I could do that. Well, you probably shouldn't, because you're probably not wired as a builder. But for me, that's how I'm wired. God's wired me this way. And the problem for me is I'm becoming pretty proficient at increasing and ruling, but I'm mainly a builder. Last one. Image enables authority. When you begin to see that God's given you ability and he's validated you, man, you walk into a room and you're ready. You're ready for action because you know who you are. You know your identity. You live with a confidence because you've been given authority in that area. You know, here in my role at Crosspoint, I mean, I probably take at least equal, if not more, criticism than the average person in their job. I'm regularly getting emails, and some of them are really good and cool and fun, and other ones are, you know, this and that, and sometimes they're about things I say or mistakes I made or whatever. I mean, and that's cool. I can handle that. You know, because if I'm wrong, I can accept that because that doesn't define me. My mistakes don't define me. In fact, even your approval of me doesn't really define me. God defines me. Jesus is my authorizer. See, parents, this is why so many times I think we're afraid to speak into our children. Listen, if you struggle with this, let me tell you something. You know far more than your kids know, just in case you're wondering, all right? They tell you you don't, but you do. You're smarter than your kids. All right, you have way broader experiences, way more experiences than your kids. You need to tell your kids who they are. I mean, our society doesn't want us to tell kids anything. Don't tell them who they are. Let them figure it out for themselves. No. This is why we have all the mental health stuff going on. Listen, there are voices all around telling our kids who they are, from social media to television, movies, their friends. Everything is telling them who they are and who they should be. It's why our suicide rate's going up, 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 because authorities in their lives, the image bearers and bestowers, are not telling them who they are. And identity is everything. We need to tell our kids who they are. See, think about it. Our core frustrations in life are connected to our identity, right? Your core pain in your life is likely connected to your identity. And we believe Jesus can change that because he's your identity. Your core future is connected to your identity. And the sooner we get in touch with who we really are, the more life's going to take off. So we're going to hear from God over these next 6 weeks in this environment, in our small group stuff, our work, our individual work stuff. You're not going to be able to binge watch this like Netflix, all right? You can't like go to the podcast and just do 6 in a row at the end and get out of it. You're going to need to go every week through the process, get into the groups, do the individual guide. And in this environment here, we're going to be pushing and doing creative things, and you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for that still small voice of God. You have to wait to hear it. And when you do, you're going to walk with confidence. You got more and more power flowing through your veins because you know who you are. All right, I'm going to invite Eric to come up, and he's going to walk us through how this is going to go. Let me pray for us as he comes. Heavenly Father, man, we're excited about this journey, and we want our life to be more and more in alignment with you. And God, I just pray that you would help us to get clear. And it's going to take time. Help us to be patient, but help us to get clear on who we are and who you created us to be. Thank you for giving us time to hear, to respond, to listen, so that we can be different. And I just pray now that you'd build us as we walk out of here today. Speak to us and encourage us, I pray. Amen.
All right, well, I hope you guys are excited about the journey. Whether you this is your first time here at Crosspoint, or you've been coming to Crosspoint for 10 years, or somewhere in between, there are three really important things that you need to know as it pertains to the journey. We call it the journey rhythm. And that's the reason why I've been asked to come up here, because when you think rhythm, you automatically think of me. I constantly have people saying, Eric, please teach me how to dance. And I'm like, no, that's just who I am. I'm a dancer. But let me go over the journey rhythm with you. So one is be here on a weekend service here at Crosspoint. So you've done that. So whether you're here on Thursday night or one of our two Sunday services, the weekend service over these next 6 weeks really sets the tone for what we're going after each and every week. We're pouring a lot into these services, a lot of creativity. So we encourage you to be here again during one of the three weekend services. The second part is doing the individual work. And for that, as Kurt mentioned earlier, you're going to have to get the Crosspoint app. If you don't have the Crosspoint app on your smartphone or on your tablet, go ahead and download that. You can go to the Google Play Store or you can go to the Apple Store and Apple App Store, I guess, or whatever, whatever it is. You know, the store where you get your apps. Look for Crosspoint Fishers in there and download that. If you already have the app on your phone from time to time, you may have to refresh that to make sure you have the most current information in there. But get the app, do the individual work each and every week. As Kurt mentioned, don't wait until like the last minute to go ahead and do your like individual homework for the week. You'll do that through the Crosspoint app. And so before you go into your group, you're going to want to make sure that you do the individual work. And this individual work for the week is going to be things that you're going to process through, things that you can journal through. It's interactive. It's a really great resource for you. It's a great way for you to be able to grow. Again, if you miss a weekend service, you can catch up by checking out the podcast, which you can also get through the app, or our website as well. So before you go to your group this week, make sure you do week one of the individual guide. And along the lines of the group, as we've mentioned before, it is probably the most important part of this journey experience. And so you can get into a group. If you're not in a group now, if you've been in one in the past and you didn't re-sign up for your group, you are not in that group, because we've cleared out all the groups prior to the journey. So make sure that if you haven't signed up in the last couple of weeks that you sign up for a group. You can look through the app, the website under Get Into a Group, and you can see all the different listings of where groups meet, days, locations. Most groups are open to everybody. Some groups are just for men. Some groups are for women. Some groups we have for singles. We have a single parents group. Also excited that we have a college and young adult group as well. So there's a group for everybody. Inside that, once you get into a group, there's a group guide in the app as well. And that's what you're going to work through in your groups when you get together with them. It's really cool because there's some discussion topics in there. There's some games that you can play, and there's even a timer on there. So if you or someone in your group gets rather chatty, the timer will go off and make sure that you stay on task as you go through it. So make sure you get into a group. Don't leave today without getting into one. So you can, again, sign up right now through the app. We have some iPads out at Connection Point before you leave today. If you want to scroll through that, you can go ahead and do that. So, again, the rhythm is be here on a weekend service, do the individual work in the app, and then get into a group, and then go to your group. It's going to be an amazing time over these next 6 weeks. We got one more song for you from PJ and the band before we go, but a couple of things before you exit after this song. If you need prayer today, you can just stay in your seats after the song is over. A member of our prayer team would be happy to come and pray with you this morning. Also, on your way out today, don't forget to take your connection card, along with any financial gifts, tithes, offerings, game change campaigns, and drop them in the joy box again on your way out. So the journey has begun. We hope you're excited for it. Stand with me now. Let's sing together about God's amazing grace.